Welcome to the Fuller Money Audio Commentary. This is David Fuller on Monday, the 6th of August, recording at 9:24 p.m., and that's British Summer Time. Now, first, a quick look at the highlights here today. The Asian stock markets were firmer, pretty much across the boards, and China had a good day here, as did Japan, up 2% on the Nikkei. China has seen its biggest rally in at least 3 or 4 months. But mind you, it hasn't had much in the way of rallies. Hong Kong Hang Seng Index, though, has been leading the A-shares, pushed up very close to that psychological 20,000 level. In Europe, we had mostly gains, and they were... Well, they ranged here. The best was the Spanish IBEX index, up 4.41%. The Italian MIB up 1.5%. The other gains are fairly modest, but again, DAX coming in more than that, 0.77%. And the U.S., or the Americas, I should say, to bring in the whole region, modest gains today, following on from the strength that we had seen on Friday. Wall Street's gains petered out sort of towards the close, but nevertheless, here we are, 1394 for the S&P, 1394 and change. And elsewhere, long-dated government bond prices, they actually edged up a little bit in here today. Not much. It was a pretty quiet day in the long-dated government bonds. The U.S. dollar is a little easier against that background. And Aussie pretty much unchanged. The euro saw a little bit more, I think mostly short covering, got up to 124.44, but it's currently 123.98, up a tad. Sterling a little easier. It's a quiet day in the currencies as well. Precious metals, reasonably steady day overall. Gold is at 610. Nearly 1610, nearly 1611. That's up 7 and a bit. Now, silver, 2785. And the only one that was down in here today is platinum, but well off its lows. It had dipped down to 1390 this morning, but is currently at 14.02 and 50 cents. That's down nearly $12, though. In the crude oil sector, we had modest gains. I think we're up to about 109.5 for the Brent, which has been quite firm, and the WTI is up to 92.10. That's up 72 cents today. Natural gas, which had been slipping on forecasts of somewhat cooler weather, or I should say somewhat less hot weather, and therefore probably less air conditioning demand, that had come down, had been coming down, but firmed up here a little bit today. Grains and beans, this was interesting. Soybeans took a bit of a hit back to 1584. Corn down a fraction, 805. More on those in a moment. And industrial metals, I think, are mostly a little bit firmer. Agricultural commodities, mostly a little bit firmer, although sugar was an exception. Rough rice also gave up some early gains. Okay. What's going on here overall? Well, the overall patterns for so many European stock markets, and also for Wall Street, are of a ranging nature, and they've been that way for 18 months, 2 years, in some instances 3 years. But what we see, or what we've seen here really since early June, is that markets, a number of these markets have gone from somewhere near the lower side of those ranges back up into, if not the upper side, and Wall Street's very much to the upper side, but they've gone up into the upper middle region. So it's been a pretty good rally here since early June, and characterized, it's been a ranging rally, but characterized by by progressions of higher reaction lows. And there's still no evidence that that's over. But a number of these markets are getting up close to prior resistance levels. I've mentioned this before with the S&P up near 1400. There's certainly some prior interest there. For the FTSE 100, there's quite a bit of prior resistance is somewhat higher, sort of a couple of hundred points higher up near that 6,000 psychological level. The German DAX, which is at 6,918, there's certainly lateral and psychological resistance up near the 7,000 level. So these markets are getting up to some interesting levels, which have previously rebuffed rallies. Now, in addition to that, there's a growing number of relative strength outstanding performances. I should say that outstanding relative strength performances. Now, that would include the ASEAN markets, which have been firm all along. It also includes South Africa. It includes in Europe, the leader remains Denmark. So what we have seen is somewhat more in the way of stock markets, a few more stock markets and indices breaking up out of these overall ranges. Now, the ones that had broken downwards earlier on have seen a number of downside failures and turned around and staged at least some short covering rallies here since June. So the technical picture is certainly better overall, although really for this to continue, we're going to need to see a really crucial market, and there's none more crucial than Wall Street. We're going to need to see that break up out of its overall range. Now, I have forecast during some of these whipsaw ranging moves, I've forecast that I wouldn't be at all surprised that we would see higher stock markets by the end of the year than we were in earlier months, and I think that's still on track. Stock markets are for the most part higher than when I was making those forecasts, and I think that I would definitely not rule out the possibility of some upward breaks, despite all the concern over the fiscal cliff. We know they're going to come to see in the United States. We know they're going to come to some sort of agreement on that. We also see that while the Bundesbank in Europe remains outspoken as the sort of moral defender of the old Deutschmarks reputation. Now remember, the Bundesbank never wanted the euro. They wanted to persist with the Deutschmark. But while they continue to champion their cause, what we have seen is the ECB acting increasingly like the lender of last resort. and the other European countries, and indeed, and Angela Merkel, the German chancellor, is after no, no, never, and so on. We see that they're gradually coming around to Mario Draghi's views here at the ECB, because if they want to keep the euro together, they're pretty much going to have to follow his lead, and I think that's the realpolitik in all this. So that's less terrifying, I think, for investors elsewhere who've been just focused on Europe and are still talking about a breakup of the euro sometime soon, and they range from people who've been against the euro from day one to the more extreme gold bugs. Well, it's not going to break up. Maybe Greece drops out at some point over the next few months or few years. It probably will. They're going to hold this political construct together if they wish to. And I've not seen too much wavering in that overall wish to do so. So they're going to reflate, and they're going to print a whole lot more money, as we know, and that will ultimately push the euro lower. But it's not going to go down in a single day, and that's a very good thing, or in a single week or month. It's going to be very much a ranging type of move where it gets oversold. There are too many shorts in the market, and then in the euro steadies, and we see some short coverings. That type of action overall. Now, precious metals, the gold pattern is mildly encouraging. The seasonal factors are becoming more encouraging. When I say the gold pattern's mildly encouraging, it's still range bound, but we have gradually rising lows within that range. And even silver is now showing some gradually rising lows within its range, although it's been and that aspect is more recent than it is for gold. But gold's the big one. It's the key one. And it still is, well, it hasn't confirmed my support building hypothesis. The action is sympathetic, and it certainly hasn't refuted the support building hypothesis. And once we get a sustained break to the upside from this range, assuming we do get that, and that's the assumption I still hold to, then we will have more conclusive evidence that this is an overall support building process. And it's not difficult to see why, in terms of fundamentals, with all this money being printed and very low interest rates. And what else to mention here? In terms of long-dated government bond prices, as long as people are talking about a breakup of the euro, of the fiscal cliff in the United States, as long as they're talking about deflation and double dip or triple dip recession, and as long as we're getting QE, all those factors can help to keep bond yields quite low, and therefore bond prices really quite firm, and to also keep the total return indices in positive territory. So there's nothing, therefore, there will be nothing in the market action to cause all that money that's gone into the bond markets to jump out. Indeed, those people will still be making money, but not as much as they have actually in the past. On a medium-term to longer-term basis, I maintain that those markets are extremely dangerous, and that we will eventually see interest rates return to normal. I'm interested to see that Bill Gross is also forecasting that, and that will be painful. when that occurs in the bond market. If the move is slow, that will not create too much of a headwind for equities. And as a matter of fact, at the beginning of a slow rise in yields, probably create a tailwind for equities. But the higher long-dated government bond yields go, and we may be talking several years down the road, but you know, if they get back up around 7-8%, which I know Bill Gross was talking about in that report of his that I posted, and certainly consistent with our views here at Fuller Money, that will create some additional competition for equities. But that's way, 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 way into the future. And let's deal with these interesting markets a day at a time. But not all that bad a performance overall. All the best.